Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, all union members. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, all union meetings are now canceled. All union member rights to govern the union have been suspended. Stay away from the union office. Do not attempt to question elected leaders or company managers. Shut up! Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay away from the union office. Dues will
unless
be extracted from your paycheck, and you will not question where the money is going. Anyone caught discussing a strike, slowdown, sick out, picket, or meeting with union members without permission from elected leaders may be trolled online, mysteriously fired, and their grievances may be lost. Remain calm. Do not fight unfair company policies. Your union rep will be by to explain how you cannot tell the company how to treat you or maintain the best possible working conditions. Anyone caught sharing information from the union, labor law, the contract, or local bylaws without permission of the elected leaders will be humiliated. Remain calm. Do not strike. The number one enemy of progress is questions. Withholding information is more important than knowing the truth. All obedience to elected leaders and management will proceed as normal. No union member may post on Facebook without permission from the union office. Read only the information given by your elected leaders. Shut up! Obey all orders without question. The contract we give you will be ratified. Be happy! At last, everything is done for you.
Ooh, shut up. Be happy, boys and girls. Welcome to the awesome, unofficial, unauthorized, unapproved, despicable, evil, union-busting radio show. Business union-busting, that is. That's right, because on this show, our agenda is clear. The era of the union boss is dead. This is the era of the members. This is the era of the workers, the people who are no longer tricked and bamboozled by personalities and powerful people in particular places. This is the era of people and workers, union members rising up and taking control of the unions. That's our agenda. It's clear. And spreading of fear, making you afraid during a time of a pandemic, economic disaster, war. This is all by design. It always was, always will be. Disasters provide opportunity for those who can never have enough. They can never have enough. $634 an hour. Nope. I need a little bit more. Let me see what country I can destabilize get my congressmen to pass something to send some planes and bomb the hell out of another country and take their stuff. More money, more power, and this mentality trickles down into our labor unions when we make the innocent mistake of putting our hope in elected officers, giving them six-figure salaries, when we know nobody in our bargaining units makes that amount of money. You should make no more than you would normally make if you were an employee at the company where your union has members. That's it. Simple. If you don't like it, this is not for you. Revolutionary unionism is what I'm talking about. Revolutionary unionism. Look it up. Check it out. Business unionism is what we are looking at dismantling. The scourge of modern times. Shut up. Be happy. You're lucky you have a job, you slave. Just grieve it. You can't tell the company what to do, you know. You're just a number. There's a no-strike clause in the contract. Even if there is none, they'll tell you that anyways. Local 241, that introduction, Shut Up, Be Happy, was dedicated to you hard-working people on the buses, in the garages, in the terminals, at 567, the office workers in the union. That's right, we have office workers at 567 that are in the union. Check it out. Hopefully it's going to stay that way, right? Because if things keep going the way they're going at Local 241 and Local 308, we're not going to have any union members because the people are pissed. Excuse my language. Local 241 hasn't had a union meeting since March. Why? There's a pandemic going on. We don't want people getting together in buildings, spreading it around. COVID-19, 7 of our coworkers died. As you at 241 and 308 presidents and the Amalgamated Transit Union threw empty threats about leaving us on our own to figure out how to survive. Thanks to Reverend Willie Wilson, we have some disposable masks, but now we're wearing reusable masks. Cloth masks, but they're filthy, especially if you work in a garage or a shop. You're going to get it filthy. You need disposable masks. Everybody working in the shops, man, dirty in there. You don't want to be inhaling more of that grease crap stuck to your mask so that we don't look nasty. We wear a black mask. It just covers up the grime. We just trying not to get written up, that's all. We just don't want to get punished. So we'll take a chance. I'll inhale some soiled air from soiled masks so that I don't get a behavioral, because three of those means I'm fired. And now, because of the greed in our society, we have just barely enough to wipe down a seat or two on a bus or a train, a station, a garage, a shop. Now, our riders and us are fighting with each other. Wear the mask. I don't want to wear a mask. Wear the mask. I don't have a mask. Wait, he's not wearing a mask. What? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh, too bad. Going to take your picture and put it on Twitter. Oh, no. You see? They got us fighting with each other. They got us fighting with the writers. So what do? We fight those in power. We let them know we're not taking it anymore, like SEIU did just a week ago. Four bargaining units went on strike because they didn't have a contract and they felt they were being treated unfairly. They went on strike, yeah. Just took a week, ratified their contracts. Might not have been everything they wanted, but the members voted and they said, no more strike, we're going to have to settle for this. But they took action. They didn't wait years. We're already in month 9. No contract. All we get is excuses after excuses. Oh, they're not meeting. But you have meetings with them. Anyways. Don't you? But that's an excuse. We don't want to upset the mayor. God bless the mayor and the governor, our friends. Or are they? I remember the mayor said that something interesting here just a few months ago. Go in our time tunnel.
Mayor, question from Marianne Ahern at Channel 5. In New York today, the governor and the mayor announced that they will suspend mass transit for a deep cleaning overnight each day. Are there any similar plans here?
You know, I heard about that. We don't have any current plans to do that. Look, I think one of the things that challenges all of us is, and I think New York did what they did in reaction to the homelessness population that uses mass transit. We've been very committed to making sure that we're reaching out to members of the homeless community that are traveling on mass transit. There's a regular cadence of outreach to them led by our Department of Family and Support Services. We're trying to get those who are willing to go into transitional housing. We have open shelter beds across the city, particularly because we've flexed with the need to social distance in our shelters and bring other facilities online. That team also has addiction and mental health. And so we're going to continue to do that outreach. But what I'll also say is, you know, there's been a lot of conversation over the course of these last 6 to 8 weeks about public transportation. Public transportation is vital to our essential workers. It is vital to our first responders and our healthcare workers. They rely upon the buses and the trains, and many of them don't have cars. So public transportation is their means to be mobile in a challenging environment. There are people that work the overnight shift. So closing down, especially during that critical time period, for some would mean that would be the difference between them being able to actually get to work or not. And not everybody has the resources to be able to call up a rideshare company. So.
Yeah. So just die. Yep, that was in the height of the pandemic in April. Put the people who must work, must take the trains, put them up in the hotels that are empty so that they can go to work. There's many other alternatives. If you engage with the people, you can find out. It's all about the money. Not about the people. Simply put, Local 241 and Local 308 have done two very opposing things, and we have to examine this. By the way, they have been talking to us about the layoffs ever since March, and they use it as a threat to get us to shut up and obey, to calm us down. Silence dissent. Layoffs are coming. But if you go along and let them violate your seniority, do other things, well, they're going to take care of us. Well, it doesn't really happen if there's no money. If we are not loud in saying, we need money, we will not get it. This is an economic disaster. We require economic stimulus. Otherwise, you have the public transit workers out of work. Vehicle operators, you'll have less vehicles for them to operate. There'll be less operators operating the vehicles, and we will have more crowding on the vehicles, less space for the riders. And it gets kind of hairy on the blue line and sometimes the red line. We have to figure this out as the members. The members have the collective wisdom and knowledge. If the union officers, the presidents, would engage with them in mass meetings virtually, but they refuse, citing excuses and things from the international. Screw the international. They are not God. Who do you work for, the international or us? You work for us. We pay you, not the international. But it seems they're paying you something because, oh my goodness gracious, today and tomorrow at the 241 office, there's a barbecue. Oh, wonderful. But no meetings. Oh, you will have no right to question anything or to bring about motions. But you can come and eat some barbecue. Well, that's interesting. And it happens to be a barbecue sponsored by BBS Insurance Agency. Supplemental insurance. We could take a little bit more out of your check to insure you so when you get sick from COVID-19 because the budget's been cut to clean the facilities, the stations, and the vehicles with union work. Even cut out the contractors that you brought in to replace the union jobs where the union refuses to fight against. You can get some insurance. This thing is crazy. I don't know about you, but something smells fishy at 241 at local 308. We'll get to them in a minute because I just think I figured it out, maybe. As you know, they call me the boogeyman at local 308. He knows everything. He thinks he knows. That boogeyman, he's a bad guy. The enemy among us, a spy for the managers. Yes, he is evil. So, no union meeting at 241, but we can have a barbecue. Ooh, bad move. BBS, what is that? That's an insurance company owned by the brother of the Democratic presidential candidate. Did you know that? Yes, it's true. Joe Biden's brother made a deal with the Amalgamated Transit Union, ATUPU. Man, that stinks. Did you ever wonder why they endorsed Joe Biden? I mean, obviously, they're not going to endorse Trump. The man is stacking the NLRB, the National Labor NLRB, our National Labor Board, with anti-union, pro, open shop people. I'm not taking any political shots, but you know, you like them, but it really doesn't make a difference who's in office if we are not organized and taking action. Nonetheless, they endorsed him. He's really a weak candidate. And now there's this BBS suddenly sending us glossy brochures. This is not an ATU company. This is just more union boss stuff. Here, I'm going to shove this on my members, and we're going to make some money off of it, and they're going to do what I say and follow by chain of command. Man, up yours with your chain of command, Amalgamated Transit Union. You left us to die. You left transit workers all over the country to get sick and die. You could have organized us for mass action, but no. No. Just send some letters to Congress begging them, threatening them with severe consequences if they do not comply with hazard hero pay and blah, blah, blah. No. You had no intentions, just like our local leaders have no intentions to take action. Local 308 meetings started 3 months ago. Why? Come on, everybody. We're going to have some social distancing. Our president brilliantly had the meetings outside the union hall, spread out the chairs. It's definitely compliant. Of course, it's not like that way at work. And it can't be, because there's nowhere for people to sit safely and fairly. Well, you could sit in your car. Well, not if you don't have a car. Yeah. Did you think about that? Someone got sick in a union office. They closed it down for like 2 weeks or something to sanitize it. Someone gets sick in a kiosk or a garage or a terminal. Shop that. Leave it open. Anyways, I digress. Why were these meetings opened up? I think it's great. You got to have meetings. But why were they not virtual? I mean, everyone's doing virtual. Do you know what year it is? Do you know what year it is? It's the year 2020. In fact, everybody's meeting virtually, seems like, nowadays. But no, we can't. International. You know what? That seems to be the biggest obstacle to our progress as a union in opening it up to the members and allowing the members to control it is the Amalgamated Transit Union. Transit Workers Union, TWU. We got a brothers in Philadelphia, Local 234. Shout out to you, picketing their own union office because they want virtual meetings. Their international refuses, their local refuses. Local 241, word to the wise, hint, hint, wink, wink. You need to have meetings. Why 308? Simply put, there's a 6-meeting credit in order for you to run for office. If you don't have those 6 meetings, you can't run. The Justice Coalition has been advocating for the members to take over the union, run for office, organize. You realize they have to give us credit for the meetings they canceled. So there were 3. if they had kept the last three meetings canceled because of the pandemic, like 241 did, all the members would have had over 6 credits. Every single person would have been eligible. Every single union member in Local 308 could have been eligible to run for office. Ooh, wow. A Local 241 doesn't have that kind of requirement. So you all, your problem is overcoming the tyranny in the meetings. Our problem is overcoming the tyranny in the bylaw credits. Wow. Would have been glorious, right? Next month is nominations. Did you know that? Local 308. Yeah. We did a little unofficial poll. You know, everything we do at the Justice Coalition is unofficial, unauthorized. Do you plan to vote in the Local 308 officer elections this November? 57% said yes. 42% said, what elections? No one ever told me about it. Oh, you sneaky officers at 308. Brilliant. And then we had one meeting in August. It was just ended because we didn't have enough people going. No quorum. Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. See, 241, y'all beat the members down so bad. They don't know how good they got it about taking over the union. They got no meeting requirements to run. Local 308, we got 6. Got to do that every year. That's crazy. Another bylaw reform we tried to change, but now you're going to keep threatening us about layoffs, all this punishment. We got workers being punished collectively because one worker does something, breaks the rules, makes some stupid decisions or careless, honest mistake, and they punish everybody. And the union says, union officers, well, what the hell's wrong with you? Come on, don't do that. Be nice to them. They say, no. We're going to do this. And they said, okay, it doesn't work. We have to fight. Have to organize. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts. So we're about to wrap up this fine episode. We're going to stay on the air just a couple more minutes past the air time. We're going to still be recording. Got some more good, juicy information for you. Imagine that we would have every member in Local 308 with 6 meeting credits. 60 seconds. Now, y'all got 3 credits now. So if you went to 3 meetings, but you would have had to do it in the previous year as well, you got a shot. Now, if any of these union officers that are currently in office decide not to run, you have a vacancy. If there's nobody with any meeting credits, you still got to fill it. So you're still going to go on the ballot. Might as well go October 13th. Get some radicals in there. Shake it up. You got someone in your workplace, at your shop, in your terminal, your kiosk, your station. You know,
10 seconds.
You know who they are. Yeah, baby. SEIU did it, didn't they? Thanks a lot for listening to our show. Those who are listening live, let's do it again. All right, those that are still on the air, those who are listening to the recording, sorry. Listen carefully, Local 308 members. This is the Boogeyman speaking. The enemy. The spy. The super flagman, Union Buster Boogeyman. If you run for office, you must fight. Of course, you say, I'm going to fight. Oh, yeah, I'm going to fight. We're not going to let the members get run over anymore. I'm going to go in there and tell that manager a thing or two, and then they're going to do what I want to take care of the members. Yeah. You're going to have to organize. Look in the description of my book, in my podcast. Got a book there called The Secrets of a Successful Organizer. You have to organize the workplace. It's going to be rough work. Rough work. But if you can pull it off, you won't have to deal with a whole lot of meetings, interviews for punishment. It's not discipline. They call it discipline. It sounds nice. Discipline. Discipline. Doesn't it sound so nice? Punishment. That's what it is. Discipline is what you do to yourself. You say, I want to lose some weight. I want to build some muscle. I'm going to go to the gym and go on a diet. That's discipline. I'm going to memorize the alphabet of a new language. I'm going to pray 5 times a day. That is discipline. So you want to run for office, you're going to have to organize. You're going to have to do a lot of stuff. You want to empower the workers to be able to fight for themselves and then back them up. You don't have to be a leader. You have to be a servant. You say you're going to fight. Who are you going to fight? You know you're going to have to fight some people in your own union. Mm-hmm. Yep. You might have to fight a president who won't pay you for your time off when you went to help a member. That's what the unions do. That's what our dues are supposed to go for, you know. And that's supposed to go for parties and banquets and travel, raffles and BS. Nope. Flyers that go on the wall at the union hall of people they don't like. That's not what it's for. It's not for you to make stuff to give to people so that they'll vote for you. It's to pay the people who serve the people and take time off work to do it. You're going to have a president or a secretary or another board member may humiliate a member at a meeting. You have to stand up and say, hey, that's out of order. Do not disparage another member like that. Calm down. You're going to have to call out your president if they're trying to make us vote on a contract that is pure garbage. You're going to have to risk your position. You're going to have to go into office knowing that it's very possible you're not going to last very long. You know, find something to charge you with. Dig it up. But you know what? You'll inspire coworkers and they'll stand up. Maybe not for you. Maybe not, but maybe. Maybe for each other. This is a long-term process that I'm encouraging you to go on. It's called revolutionary unionism. Again, these layoff threats are real, people. WMATA, their transit board, that's in D.C., Philadelphia, New York, they're all talking. We are going to have furloughs, unpaid work days, that's unpaid days off, and unpaid scheduled days, part-timers, possible midnight runs cut back severely. Of course, this is going to be a problem because you're going to have packed trains and buses. So we've got to be organizing on the street. We have got to be organizing on the street. Pickets and protests, building the confidence up of the members to take bigger and more significant public and on-the-job actions. This is the job of a union. This is not the job of a business union, a company union. And that's what we've become. And many of us admit this, and we know this, and we think that's just the way it is. Yeah, but it ain't right. And I debate with some of coworkers who subscribe to that. They say, we just need the right person in management. Let me tell you about management. A good manager, you know what a good manager does? Oh, they treat the employees with respect, but they cut costs. They save money. One way to save a lot of money is to cut back on labor. Workers are expensive, especially full-time workers with union-scale wages. So replacing those workers with contractors is the key. And so we will use the potential layoffs as a way to get in contractors to do our jobs. And it's happening already. They were trying to get us, they've gotten some of us on the rail side to give up our picked stations and picked runs, mostly picked stations in the customer assistance side. They got some bus operators to give up their picked runs early in the pandemic. It's not a good sign. We've got to fight back. That's what we need you to do. That's what we need you to do. Beware of divide and conquer. Well, you're dividing and conquering, Boogeyman, because, Brother Eric, you are saying all this bad stuff about the union officers. Look, not all union officers are corrupt, insecure. Some are, but they can be redeemed. But it's going to take some effort on our part. And if they redeem themselves, that's good. And that's what we want. It's okay to admit that you're wrong. You sold us out. Let us die during the pandemic. Let us get sick. Social groups will form always along racial or ethnic lines. And sometimes when the work groups are racially segregated because of the hiring or promotion policies, it's even worse. In these cases, you as a worker, an activist, need to be extra sensitive and make sure that you start talking to leaders from all of these groups. There's been overtime boycotts. It rely on numbers. And it wouldn't succeed if only a particular ethnic group had participated. We have to reach out to everybody. Sometimes we can do it based on classification, craft, and it can work. Here's an example. Her name is Judy Sheridan Gonzalez of the New York State Nurses, started working at a hospital. People told her not to bother trying to engage with certain nurses, certain workers. This was an ethnic group because they couldn't be interested in the union. But an issue came to light that hit these Asian nurses. Those that were on H-1 guest worker visas were being threatened that they would lose their visas if they got involved with the union. Some were forced to endure inferior living conditions, including hot beds, where a day shift nurse and a night shift nurse shared a bed on a rotating schedule, pushed for the union to offer legal advice, which got an overwhelming response from these Asian nurses. And learning about the exploitative conditions unified all the nurses of all the backgrounds. Soon, a similar situation emerged, affecting Jamaican nurses. So the Asian and Jamaican nurses together led a campaign to stop these practices, and nurses from other ethnic groups joined in. And after they won, word spread to the other hospitals, ultimately ending these practices. So we may not have that ethnic group situation specifically, but we certainly have classification issues. We have craft issues. We say, well, you know, this group has this problem and this group has that problem. The operators don't know what the repairmen going through. Repairmen don't know what the operators are going through. Not necessarily. Very different. But both endure. It takes you to talk with your coworkers. Be a leader. Do not subscribe to notions of inferiority and negative affirmations. Stop saying you're just a number. But it's true. It's true. That's how they see us. Is that how you see yourself? No. You don't see yourself as just a number. You are a human being. You have dignity and deserve it. Stand up and fight for yourselves. Local 241, wake up, members. Take over your union before it is destroyed utterly. Local 308 needs you. We move the city. We run it. Buses, trains. That's what we do. We are Chicago's number one people mover. Take power. Study the law. Study the rules. Read the contract. Know your bylaws. Never take no for an answer. Never take no for an answer. No is just another word that sounds like go. Make it happen, people. We are the union. Thanks for listening to this special extra spot for our show. Spread the word. If you enjoyed it, share. Share, share. Spread the word, y'all. We are the union. Peace.